So this morning we want to spend some focused time on interacting with the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Christians around the world. And we do this on purpose as part of what we call our Justice Sundays here at Bible Baptist Church. We have three of them that we've identified on our church calendar. Two of them we've already done, the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday and also Rescue Sunday that we looked at a few months ago. And so, why the International Day of Prayer? Well, right away, I'd like you to take your copy of your scriptures, if you have one with you, Hebrews chapter 13, and if you'd like to use a pew Bible, it's 845, but Hebrews chapter 13 really sets the tone for our time together, of why we would even venture into this or recognize this opportunity to pray for persecuted Christians around the world. But Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 3, this is one of those verses in the Bible that if you underline or you note verses in your own personal Bible, you might want to make this one that you take note of and highlight or underline so that it draws your attention next time you're in this area of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3 says this: "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." That's really what we're talking about today, because for us, so many miles away this is happening. Really, it is, and to the degree that we're talking about it. I know there's some level of persecution in the United States, but really it pales in comparison to the world, and it's so far away. And so we must look at this verse and say, okay, I need to continue to remember those that are in prison as if I was there myself. And those that are being mistreated as if it was myself or my family. And so this is really important for us to take the time to do this. And so the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians, this is what it's all about. It's today. It's the first Sunday in November each year. And so today, this morning, we are joining forces with churches and Christians all around the world in praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith. So we're not doing this alone. It's not something I came up with. It's not my idea. Someone much deeper and stronger than I did came up with this idea. And so we are joining forces with other Christians and other churches in order to do this. And so I want us to look at the international church that's being persecuted in a couple ways. I think we can kind of remember this day by remembering them in a few ways, and then by praying for them. The first way I want us to kind of remember the persecuted church is through reminding you of some resources. Just want to spend a little bit of time about resources. As you leave today, there's a round table in the corner of the foyer, and there are some copies of the video that you saw. So, and they're free copies. If you would like to take one of those, please do that. If you'd like to watch it again or watch it and then pass it on to somebody else, we have a limited number of copies. I don't want to see any of those left. Just take a copy of that video, and you can watch it and then share it. Also, we have some Voice of the Martyrs sample magazines that are on the round table in the foyer. If you want to take those, you can do that. You don't need to bring those back. You can read those, pass those on. Also on the table, there are some prayer bookmarks, prayer reminder bookmarks for the persecuted church, and you can take those, and it'll help you to remember to pray for the persecuted church, give you some ideas. Also, in your bulletin, and we have some extra ones out at the table. You see this card here? Could you pull this out if you have it and just hold it up for me? If you grabbed a bulletin, it should be in there, okay? And if you didn't get one and after I talk about it, you want one, there's extras on the table. Here's what you can do with this card. You can read through the first part of it, or you can read through the front, and then the back, you notice that it's blank. You can write a note of encouragement to a persecuted Christian. A verse, or just say, hey, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you, praying for you, put a verse down there. And then on the front, there's an address where you send the card to it. So will you have to put it in an envelope and stamp it? Yes. Can you do that? Yes. If you send that to this address, they will hand deliver this card to a persecuted Christian someplace around the world. You won't be able to track it, not able to do that, but they will personally hand deliver these cards and translate them for people around the world. So if you do this, your card will end up someplace where, in a country where there's a persecuted Christian. They'll turn it over, they'll translate your message or your verse for them to be an encouragement from. So that would be really neat. So if you want to do that, you can take those, and there are extras there, so I want you to do that. Also, in your sermon insert, there's some websites that are listed that you can go to as a resource look up different ways that you can be involved in the different ministries. And then one final resource to help you to be aware of this. And I know there's a lot of people here in this first service, so if you all go at once, it might be a little crowded, but it'd be worth it, either this week or next week. In the welcome room, we have a brand new persecuted church banner on the wall that shows the countries of the world and where persecution is most intense. It's very interesting to look at. So I'd encourage you to go to the welcome room, which is right in the corner off of the foyer. Take the time to look at that map, either this week or next week, to give you an idea of what's happening around our world. Right, so these are just some of the resources that help us to remember the persecuted church. But I also think we can remember them through awareness. So in your insert, I wanted to give you some statistics as it relates to persecution to help you be aware, because what happens is if we just don't think about it, if we just don't hear about it, if we just don't give it any thought, then we don't feel guilty. We don't feel aware. And we should feel a little guilty that we're not thinking about a little bit more. I should be feeling that a little bit, and so I need to be aware, and some of these statistics help me to be a little bit more aware. So let me give you some persecution facts. You can fill these in your insert. First of all, over 245 million Christians around the world face persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. That's a lot. Over 245 million Christians around the world face persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, Christians face persecution in 144 countries out of 190 plus countries in the world. So this is very prevalent. We are the anomaly. We're the exception. The rule really is persecution is pretty rampant around the world. So we need to be aware of that. Thirdly, Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. So we're not saying that other religious groups are not persecuted, but Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. And then in the 2019 reporting period, the number of Christians in the top 50 countries on the World Watch list, and that's a list of the most persecuted countries in the world, who experienced high levels of persecution rose in 2019 by 14%. So it's not going down in number, it's rising. It rose by 14%. So these are just some of the basic numbers that we need to be aware of as it relates to those around the world, excuse me, brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith. And I think it's also good to be reminded, be aware of, how are they exactly persecuted? Well, let me give you some ways that people are being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted around the world. First of all, harassment. Harassment. Guaranteed that at this moment, someplace in the world, a Christian is being harassed for their faith. And I'm not just talking about, you know, a relative going, ha, 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 you're going to church, or, oh, you're one of those Christians. Not that at all. It's soft here. We're talking about harassment in such a way that they're being verbally abused because of their faith. Harassed and just maligned and critically just rung over the coals because of their faith in Jesus Christ, to intensity where, here's what we would do. I'm just saying, maybe just for me. Here's what I would do. I'd say, listen, hey, this is America. This is the United States. This is whatever. You can't talk to me that way. That's what we would do. Like, I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to pull out my phone and I'm going to video you harassing me. That's what we would do. In these other countries, they probably don't have phones, and even if they do, who are they going to turn the video into? The government, who could care less? They're going to share it? Who's going to care? Except maybe if other Christians around the world see it, but so they're going to be harassed. Here's another way. Financial and vocational discrimination. Financial and vocational discrimination. The first time I went to Vietnam, and Vietnam is in the top 20 of most persecuted countries in the world, I didn't realize that until after I went. Paul Scott did not disclose that to me in our initial conversations. But I remember him sharing, especially in certain parts, especially in northern Vietnam. But you have identification cards in Vietnam, and they've changed a little bit, but they used to have identification cards like your driver's license. And on that card, you had to identify your religious group. And in certain parts of Vietnam, if you identified that you were with a Christian group, what would happen is you could be denied a job. The employer could just look at the card and go, nope. And they're like, here we go, oh, I'm going to report you. I'm going to report you. You're going to lose your business. No. Oh, you're part of the Christian church? You're not getting a job. Or in certain parts of the world, if you identify as a Christian, they pay you less. And you have nobody to go to. You just make less money. Here's another way that they're persecuted. Property damage. Homes, churches, Christian buildings are destroyed simply because they are owned or occupied by Christians. I was thinking about this as I was coming in this morning. I knew what I was going to be talking about. You didn't, so I guess obviously you weren't having this thought, but I was having this thought on my way in. There was no doubt in my mind that when I pulled into this parking lot, that this building would be safe and sound as it relates to persecution. I didn't have any thought in my mind that I'm gonna show up and there's going to be some writing on the walls or there's going to be part of the building damaged because we're Christians. That never entered my mind. But in places around the world, that's a real threat every single day. They're also displaced from home, especially if they're in a country where there's a strong counter-religion to Christianity and they choose to follow Christ, they can find themselves out of their home. It's not a matter of somebody taking their home from them. It's the people that live in the home that are not Christians just kicking them out. They also face physical assault. This happens every single day. I was reading yesterday about just a story of just a group of six Christians walking on their way to church in a country, and they were assaulted by 10 people who just didn't like the fact they were Christians, and they beat them so badly they all ended up in the hospital. Again, you and I don't even think about that, do we? We don't even give it any thought. They face detention and prison, and ultimately, many give their lives through death. So this is how Christians are persecuted around the world. Let me give you some specific statistics. This is best as we can tell through a reporting agency. Obviously, the number can't be exact because everything's not reported, but here's some specific numbers. First of all, 4,136 Christians were killed in the past year for faith-related reasons. So on average, that's 11 Christians a day. So today, November 3rd, 2019, around the world, 11 Christians will die for their faith. Wow. 2,635 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned in the last year. Forget about all these cop shows we have on TV, the law and orders and all that kind of stuff. There is no "I want a lawyer." There is no "you didn't read me my rights." Wait a second, you can't do this. We just did. You have no rights. And you mainly have no rights because you're a Christian. And then 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked in this past year. Either destroyed, damaged, or in some countries what they do is, hey, where your church is right now, we want that property. We want that building. Guess what? It's ours now. And they just take it. So we need to be aware, and we can be aware through resources, we can be aware through some of these statistics. The church around the world is being persecuted, and I found some things before we move on I want to share with you, and hopefully you're staying engaged with me because this is really important. There are some trends in global persecution that I just want to make you aware of that I really didn't know about too much. And I just want to briefly mention them to you. They're not going to be on the slide or in your notes, but just listen. First of all, here's a trend in global persecution: the shocking reality of persecution against women. What's happening around the world is called double persecution. A, they're being persecuted because they're women, and B, they're being persecuted because in many of these countries where they're being persecuted for being women, or because they are women, they're also in cultures that if they give their life to Christ, they're going against the culture so strongly that they face what we call double persecution. So ladies, you should have a place in your heart for Christian women around the world because they are facing it even more so, more intensely than Christian men and children around the world. That's one of the trends. There's also an increasing uptick in Islamic oppression as it relates to impact in Christians and persecution. And then the top two most populated countries in the world are moving up the persecution watch list. And those countries are India and China. They're moving up that list, which means the two most populated countries in the world are increasingly become more and more hostile to Christians. That's the trend around the world. So as we think about these things, there's one final way that I think I want to focus in on. I want to talk to you about the resources which I have. I want you to be aware of some of the statistics and the different things that are happening out there. But I also think we should be challenging ourselves for just a moment as it relates to the persecuted church. We need to be individually challenged. So I want you to take your Bibles just for a few moments with me. First of all, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 18. This is part of a discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples before he leaves. Before he goes to the cross, he's having his last meal with them, his last teaching time with them. He's talking to them about a lot of things. And he's reminding them that I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be gone, things are going to happen. And basically he says to them, which I think is one of the things that freaks them out the most. He basically says to them, you guys are going to be in charge. I'm leaving you guys in charge, you disciples. And then he says in John chapter 15 and verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And the word, if is not intended to be that maybe this will happen. Jesus is really saying, this is going to happen. The world is going to hate you because they hate me. They're going to crucify me, and as you become my followers, you're not going to be the most popular people in the world. And this is true and found around the world when it comes to persecuted church. But here's the first thing I want us to be challenged with. Increased persecution in all forms is coming our way, so we need to be ready to represent God's kingdom well. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm not a prophet, I'm just a pastor, but I'm here to tell you, in the United States of America, increased persecution is coming. It's coming in all forms. So we better be ready to represent God's kingdom well. And we better be ready to represent it well even when we lose part of our voice. And what I mean by that is even when some of our legal rights are taken away, we still need to represent God's kingdom well, yes? Because, I love America, I love being American, but we get caught up with, well, that's not going to happen here because we will protest and we will do this. Listen, it may not come to that. It may come to the fact that we're going to be persecuted and we lose our rights and God still calls us to represent his kingdom. And if we start doing woe is me, listen, then we're not getting it for the rest of the people around the world who are in countries that don't have a voice. And we're saying, you need to be strong. And they're saying, listen, well, thank you for praying for us. We're praying for you because your time may come. Increased persecution is coming in all forms. We need to be ready to represent God's kingdom well. If the world hated Jesus, it will not like us all the time. Be ready. Here's another verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn there with me if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, who was uniquely and ironically familiar with persecution, both handing it out and receiving it. The Apostle Paul handed out persecution and he received it. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, he writes this to young Timothy, a young man in the faith, a young pastor who would outlive Paul and would face some severe things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, this is what Paul says to Timothy. In fact, remember last week when I said to you it's important to read the Bible, especially the words? Remember? In fact, what is Paul saying? This is true. This is going to happen. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus might be? Oh, see, I knew you'd get a little sassy. There we go. It will be persecuted. That means if I try to live out my faith, not in an obnoxious, you know, violent way, but if I try to live out my faith in a genuine, God-fearing, loving truth kind of way, will I face pushback? Will you? Yes. And will it increase? Yes. So, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Here's the second thing I want us to be challenged with. Without the reality of persecution, we can trivialize cross-bearing and identify it with any form of discomfort. We have to be careful. Because what happens is, since we really don't have a lot of persecution here in the United States, what can happen is we can trivialize what it means to bear our cross. I'm not going to speak for you, but I'll just speak for me. My cross-bearing in New York State is pretty light compared to North Korea. But yet we're still both called to bear the cross. So what might help me to not trivialize cross-bearing? How about persecution? And I also need to keep in mind that the things that I try to elevate to levels of persecution in another country, they might say, wow, really? That's nothing. So we have to be careful that we don't trivialize cross-bearing and that we don't identify cross-bearing with any kind of discomfort. Now, listen, I want people to be nice to you. I'm not saying that, but if you come into my office and you say, Pastor, I have to talk to you, what happened? Well, the other day at work, somebody laughed at me because I went to church. What do you want me to do with that? Well, that's persecution. Not really. I mean, we can try to elevate it, but I'm sorry they did that, but you know what I'm saying? So we have to be mindful of this. And as we think about that, we're more mindful of those around the world who face it in such an intense way. So persecution is going to increase. The reality of it will help us to keep things in proper balance. And without that reality, and how do we, I'm not saying that we want to bring on persecution. I'm not saying that. When I say without the reality, it means that every once in a while, what should we be thinking about? The persecuted church. Because that helps us to keep in balance. Here's a third way I want to challenge you, and hopefully not offend you. Persecution is not something that American Christians are entitled to escape. Not here. You find me the verse. You find me the chapter. You find me the promise that God made to the United States of America and American Christians, thou shalt not face persecution like the rest of the world. Some of you are looking at me like, is there a verse? Here, you don't usually do this, but do this for me. If you're sitting next to somebody, say to your neighbor, there isn't one. Oh, good, we got it covered. All right. I am not entitled. You are not entitled. Just because we're an American Christian. Be ready. Be praying. Be alert. One more verse I'd like you to turn to is 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verse 9 in just a moment, but before that, there's some familiar words that are used that some of you are familiar with, talking about the devil. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, going around the world. He's attacking and tempting Christians. And it's interesting that if you push back a little bit, sometimes we miss the full context, because 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about casting your cares upon God because he cares for you. And one of the ways that Satan tries to deceive us, tempt us, and attack us is by convincing us that God doesn't care. And that's how he sometimes devours Christians. I can't say that word. Pam says, don't say that word. Okay. I'm going to say, that's how he eats up Christians. You know, everybody has certain words they can't say. That's one I can't say. He messes with them. And how does he mess with Christians? He messes with them by somehow convincing them in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their persecution, that God has abandoned them. He says, no. Look at verse 9. Resist the devil, Stand firm in the faith because you know. Here's a reason why you can be convinced of this. You know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. It's not just you. You're not alone. God has not left you alone. You're not the only one who's ever been persecuted, the only one who's suffering. There are people around the world suffering. And thankfully, God reminds us that there are people suffering around the world. And it reminds the people suffering around the world that others are going through these things as well in different degrees. Because it would be really discouraging, really depressing if you felt like you're the only one and you were all by yourself, right? In that little village in the middle of nowhere as the only Christian and you're being persecuted. If you thought you were the only one, the devil would mess with you. But resist him because other people around the world are facing it. Final challenge. The current persecution of fellow Christians around the world should serve to encourage and rebuke us in our faith. Should serve to encourage and rebuke us in our faith. Encourage because I know others are suffering and standing boldly for Christ, and rebuking because, listen, I'm just going to tell you, we're soft. We're soft. If you don't like my pronoun, I'll say it this way. I'm soft. So, this is how we're going to end. We're going to end with some prayer for the persecuted church. Before we pray, I want you to see this slide here. The first request of persecuted Christians. When workers go around the world and ask persecuted Christians, what's your first prayer request? Here's their very first prayer request. Pray for us. So you are going to fulfill their very first prayer request that they have when they're asked. Pray for us. Okay? You can go ahead and go to the next slide. This is kind of a map of the world. We're on the top left. See how there's no color up there? That's the soft zone. You see what I'm talking about? And then you look down into in South America, just a little bit. But then as you move to the right, wow. The yellowish is the highest level of persecution. It goes from extreme to very high to high. Just to give you a visual idea of what's happening. Okay? Rick, you can go to the next slide. This morning, in the next few minutes, our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. Wow. So, really never done this before, but we're gonna give it a try. Because our prayers don't have any borders, no walls, no prison bars. In your bulletin insert, or in your bulletin, excuse me, there's an insert. Looks like this. 10 ways to pray. It's double-sided. There's only one in there, but we would like everybody in the room to have one. So I'm going to give some instructions, but as I do, if you simply raise your hand, if you do not have one, you need one, raise your hand. The guys are going to be coming from the back and handing you one. Just keep your hands raised until you get one. Everybody needs one. You will not be sharing, so you'll need one. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that so harshly, but you're not sharing. I'll explain to you why. So raise your hand. Everybody needs one. All right, so we have time, we're going to take time, and it's investing of time on purpose. In just a moment or two after I give you the kind of the guidelines, we are going to pray for 10 minutes. We're going to pray together for 10 minutes. Get those hands raised, okay? Help me out here, please. If you have small children in the room who are not going to be able to handle the 10-minute prayer time, please take them out as we begin to pray. That way, it would be helpful not to be a distraction for us. You can take them to the foyer, and you can pray there or into the nursery. You'll notice on this side, there are 10 ways to pray. And then on the other side, there's another six. So there are 16 specific ways to pray for the persecuted church. Also, you'll notice on the bottom, the top 20 most persecuted countries in the world are listed. Everybody see that? Okay. So when we start our time of 10 minutes, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be individual prayer time. Individual. Not going to get in groups. No one's going to be listening to you. Okay? I'm going to give you full freedom within this room. What I mean by that is if you would like to stand up and pray, you can stand up and pray. If you want to come and kneel for 10 minutes and pray, you want to kneel in front of a pew, kneel up here, that's fine. If you, it doesn't matter to me. Just stay in the room. There should be no talking. There should only be praying. And you can be praying out loud if you'd like. That's the only thing we should hear. And for 10 minutes, folks, can we do that? For 10 minutes, can we pray for 245 million people around the world? You say, what about, pray for 10 minutes? You got 16 specific prayer requests to pray for. You get done with those, pick a country or two or 20. You get done with the countries, you get done with the prayer requests, pray them all over again for 10 minutes. You don't have to pray them out loud. You're all by yourself. If you're not into prayer, you're just quiet for 10 minutes. Please do not leave. Do not go to the bathroom. Stay in here and give the respect and honor and support due the persecuted church for 10 minutes. Can we do that? 10 minutes. And again, you can move to different places. I don't care. Just don't leave this room because some of you like to kneel when you pray. That's totally fine. You want to stand up? That's fine. You're not praying with anybody else. All right? And so I've got somebody helping me out with the time. And you can go to the next slide, Rick. I want you to know for the next 10 minutes, this is what you're doing. This is what you are doing. It starts now. Ask the worship team, come on up. Thought this would be an appropriate way to end. Sing this out for them this morning.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Those troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. are faithful, and nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. Before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Thank you again for participating in the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We're going to keep singing as you are dismissed. You are dismissed.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. Before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.